The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Welcome, legendary Israel reporter Rolien Marx.
I don't know if anybody would have thought me legendary a couple of seconds ago because I was singing along to that, and my singing is something nobody should have to listen to.
Well, I promise it didn't go live.
Thank goodness. Just as well as that radio's theater of the mind.
Yes. Rolien, Israel, I think, is the first country in the world to roll out the fourth vaccine for over 60s immunocompromised and healthcare workers. And also, I believe, grandparents from red list countries will be allowed in with permission. That's good news on all fronts.
As of Sunday, our home front command and all responsible for administering the fourth dose of the COVID-19 vaccine will start rolling them out. And this is in order to give those over 60, the immunocompromised and healthcare workers, their jabs. And this is recommended by an advisory panel. It must still be approved by the Health Ministry Director General Nachman Ash, but it looks very, very likely that come Sunday, if you fit into one of those three groupings, you will be able to receive a fourth dose, making Israel, again, really a pioneering country. And this is because we have seen a doubling of the Omicron variant in the country. In fact, we thought earlier today that Israel had experienced its first death due to the Omicron variant, but it turns out that was due to the Delta variant and somebody who had not been fully vaccinated. So that's where we are. But yes, also for grandparents, and I know this concerns many of you wanting to come into Israel for a family event, especially the birth of grandchildren. And even if you are in a country that's on the red list, you will be able to come into the country if you are able to receive permission. We do have a committee called the Exceptions Committee that are going through the applications. They are overwhelmed at the moment, so if you don't get a response as timely as you would like, please understand that they are absolutely inundated with requests by people requiring special permission to come into the country, but you can still apply. So all hope is not gone, and hopefully we'll have things under control pretty soon, and we'll be in a position to lift the ban. But again, and I really want to make it clear, because I've received so many messages, some polite, some not so polite, from people who are irate at the current situation. Not one diaspora community is being targeted. Please understand that we've closed our airspace to all foreign visitors, and this time of the year really is painful for us as much as it is for you. For many people, it is Christmas time. They want to come. They want to do a pilgrimage and are unable to do so. Many people want to visit their families. It's not personal. It's not targeting one community. I know there have been op-eds in the Jerusalem Post calling us a moral disgrace, which is really, really unhelpful and divisive. But our greatest ally, the United States, is on the red list. It's not directed at anyone in particular. It's not a political decision. It is purely a health decision. I've had people saying to me, well, I'm going to withhold my funding to Israel. And, you know, if that's the unfortunate way that you feel to withhold donations or withhold sending people to Israel, you know, please understand we're fighting a potentially deadly virus and have to protect our citizens, Jewish, Christian and Muslim.
Right. You said that the USA is a great friend of Israel, but I'm not sure about their President Joe Biden, because I understand he's said to be ignoring Naftali Bennett's request for a phone call, but his national security advisor has met President Herzog. Is that a snub? Is he otherwise engaged? Because he knows it obviously has to do with the Iran negotiations, I presume.
Well, this is the million-dollar question. Channel 13 in Israel reporting last night that President Biden is reported to be ignoring a request from Prime Minister Bennett to have a phone call, and it's of real urgency that we engage America, that we speak to the president when it comes to issues dealing with Iran. We do have the National Security Advisor to the White House, Jake Sullivan. He's in the country. Yesterday, he met with President Herzog to discuss issues around Iran. Earlier today, he met with the Defense Minister, Benny Gantz, to discuss Iran and as well as strengthening the Palestinian Authority. We've been speaking about that over the last couple of days, that we have to strengthen the Palestinian Authority. Otherwise, we create a situation that allows for Hamas to take further control and gain further in the West Bank. And he's slated to meet later today with the Prime Minister to discuss a comprehensive strategy. But some officials saying that the President has ignored this request for a phone call because he's frustrated over continued settlement building. But, you know, wherever one sits on the issues of settlements, and they are highly, highly controversial, Iran is the major threat opposed not just to Israel, but also to the region at the moment. In fact, today, Iran continuing on their path of threats has threatened any country that opens its airspace to Israeli fighter jets should Israel engage in some kind of military offensive.
Gosh, it's extraordinary, sort of trading the settlements for Iran. I'm not sure about that. And Mansour Abbas says Israel is a Jewish state and will remain so. Please tell us, for those who don't know, who Mansour Abbas is and what the significance of this comment is.
Well, this is just extraordinary and in effect, quite historic. So Mansour Abbas is the chairman of the Ra'am party. It's an Arab party. It's an Islamist party, not to be confused with a fundamentalist party, because that is a question I often get asked. How can he sit in the government if he's an Islamic fundamentalist? He is not an Islamic fundamentalist. He is an Islamist party, a religious party, but he has made quite an extraordinary statement saying the state of Israel was born as a Jewish state and it will remain one. This is him speaking to the Globes. This is a Hebrew economic newspaper, also publishes in English if anybody wants to read it. Very, very interesting. And he's part of our coalition, which is probably the most broad-based in our history and in my opinion, really set an example for countries around the world how it is possible to bring people or parties from the far-reaching corners of the country together to sit and discuss the important issues. And he essentially is the man that we called the kingmaker a couple of months ago, as the coalition really hinged on where he would put his support. Would he go with the Lapid-Bennett coalition, or would he go with Netanyahu, who now heads the opposition? But in the past, Arab parties have said that Israel should be a state of all its citizens, not just a Jewish state, and that the law of return needs to change in order to make it easier for Arabs to move to Israel. But Abbas taking maybe a more practical approach, saying, look, it is a Jewish state. We have to concentrate now on how we improve the infrastructure, the situation for its Arab minority citizens. And as we go into 2022, we have to remember that last month, as the budget was approved, there is a significant increase in the amount of budget allocated to help fight crime in the Arab communities and improve infrastructure and access to services for the Arab community.
So there has been certainly a payback in being part of that coalition. Rolene, thank you very much. Once again, always interesting. There's always something happening in Israel. And hope to chat to you one day again soon.
Absolutely. I promise you no singing.
Oh, thank God. Okay.